Welcome back to WGN's Nightside. Now back to your hosts, Hannah Stanley and Fred Weintraub.
Well, that makes it easy. Michael just does the intro for us. Hannah Stanley and Fred Weintraub. So excited to be hosting tonight with you guys joining us. By the way, it's one degree.
It's getting cold again. No matter what, no matter whether it's minus 22 or 1.
That's 36 degrees, 38 degrees warmer than it was yesterday.
It is.
I'm cool with that.
But people still have to say, stay safe.
Yes.
No matter how you look at it. But now we're going to switch topics and talk a little comedy.
We are going to talk comedy and improv and really just such a huge portion of so many of our lives across the country, and we're lucky to have it here, and we're lucky to have here in studio Justin Kolubsek with the Vice President of the Museum of Broadcasting, which is right here in Chicago, right up the street.
360 North State Street.
Wait, why don't I not? There we go.
360 North State Street.
There you go. Right by Harry Carey's.
Yep.
Right there?
Right there.
Over by there. That's what we would say.
Right over there.
Over by there.
Real good.
Yeah, you get a guy, and they park your car, and you go around the corner, and then you go to the museum. But what's here in Chicago? And some people, when it first came, you were like, oh, that's really cool. Huh, wonder why. It is the SNL exhibit, the Saturday Night Live exhibit. But so much of Saturday Night Live's history, incarnation, every part of it started here, really in Second City, kind of arguably one of the birthplaces, not even arguably, one of the birthplaces of improv. And God, the birthplace of so many of the original cast members and probably 50% or more of all of the cast members. And Justin, we have the exhibit of so many, 47 years now of costumes and props and things. Tell us how we got that here.
Yeah, so it's been about a 2-year process. It opened actually October 2017. But it was 2 years in the making.
Okay.
It was on again, off again, on again, off again. And really, in the end, it came down to NBC wanted this exhibit. Lorne Michaels wanted this exhibit in Chicago because of what Chicago has done for SNL.
Was it the museum's idea and you guys went to SNL, or was it SNL's idea?
So,
and Lauren, let's tell the truth. Lauren's, yeah. Lauren
so,
Michaels.
So this exhibit started actually in New York. It was there. And then actually your boss and my boss, Larry Wirt, actually, we were chatting and he said, we got to find something cool for the museum. And we went ahead and said, what about Saturday Night Live? And the next thing we know, we were on the phone talking it over. And the next thing we know, it was actually happening. So pretty exciting. It's 500 artifacts.
That's a lot.
From all 40 plus years of the show.
All in Chicago.
All of it.
And we've talked about the fact that great museums are museums that you want to go back to. And really, the brain power behind the broadcast museum, in part you, in part Larry, and your entire team, was realizing that if we could get the SNL exhibit here, that would bring people back and back. Because there's so many, although Hannah and I haven't been there yet.
I haven't been there.
I have heard from, there's not one person who walks into that museum that doesn't say, that was the coolest thing I've seen.
And we were supposed to close December 31st. I mean, it was a hard stop. And because of so many people coming through, we said, we got to extend this. We went back to NBC and they said, absolutely, let's do it.
So do we have another hard stop?
We are here now, hard stop, March 31st.
Oh, wow.
So we've got another 2 months. Got some cool stuff planned for during those 2 months. But it's the exhibit is for anyone that loves SNL. They're going to love it. Any generation. It doesn't matter.
So you're the brain trust behind a ball that takes place at the museum. I want you to tell us about that ball. But more importantly, you've gotten to spend some time with Lorne Michaels. So first, tell us about that ball. And the name of that ball is?
We hosted the Schwetty Ball.
Of course you did.
It was actually the second annual.
Yes, it was.
Actually, this past Sunday, we were in the Chicago Tribune. So if you have a Chicago Tribune laying around, go ahead and pick that up and turn the lifestyle section. And Candace Jordan did an amazing spread for us, and we can't thank her enough.
She's great.
It was one of these concepts that came through.
So you're sitting in your office. How did you think this concept up?
So I have to give credit where credit's due. So Betsy Shepherd, who does a lot of our PR and special events, we were sitting around joking about it, and it was like, let's have a Christmas party. Let's have something. And it just came out, the Schwetti Ball.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
Of course.
Why wouldn't we have that? So
because of Pete Schwetti. Yeah.
Exactly. And yes. So, you know, we had that. We had the second annual this year. It was wonderful. More and more people came. People loved it. They got to see the exhibit, but then they also got to do live band karaoke on the, you know, the famous home base
stage.
We have an exact replica of home base up on our fourth floor. That's actually where you end the exhibit, because that exhibit takes you Monday through Saturday. And actually the production steps.
Where they don't sleep. And they rewrite the show.
You literally hear, we've got in Tuesday in the writer's room, they actually talk about how, you know, it'll be 4 a.m. and we're up writing. And Seth Meyers is sitting there talking about a random story. But he's like, yeah, it happened at 4 a.m. We thought of this great idea.
And so one of the guests who's come to the museum has been a person named Lauren Michaels, who you might be familiar with.
Yeah, so.
I've heard of him.
Lauren came in August. He actually helped basically as a benefit for the museum. Lauren came. He also brought an entourage of Colin Jost and some other people with him as well. It was a great event. I think the one thing, a lot of people think that Lorne Michaels is very quiet. And maybe he is, but at the same time, he absolutely loved the exhibit. I know Fred and I, we were having lunch, and I showed a photo literally of him looking down at a bunch of artifacts from his office. And just, you see the pure smile on his face, the joy of looking at these telegrams, looking at all this stuff. It's incredible.
And Hannah, the real backstory is, like with a lot of people who are at the level of Lorne, mm-hmm. they all come with their own handlers. Justin gets a list of 500 things that he will like,
no
that he won't
M&Ms.
Like.
Sure.
He can't do this, he can't do this. I have lunch with Justin. Justin says, none of that was true. None of that was true. He couldn't have been the nicer guy. And one of the things we talked about was the fact...
Because he's Canadian. That's why.
Really? I don't know what to say to that.
They're just a kind, nice people.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. But, Justin, Lorne Michaels seems to be the kind of guy who's kept everything from a comedic standpoint that he ever created at a warehouse that he owns, which when you think of it logically, when you have that kind of body of work, it's a really smart way to keep track of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that he talked to you about?
So this warehouse, Mark Locke, who created the exhibit, he told us how he literally at one point was told, okay, Lorne Michaels has a large warehouse that's actually shared with Paul Simon and a few other people.
Some guy, Paul Simon.
All of their correspondence, artifacts, awards, that kind of stuff. And so I think one of the amazing things with that August event was that he walked in and he saw these telegrams and things, and he didn't even know that they were still around.
Really?
I mean, that's the kind of
thing.
He has
so much he's forgotten.
Yeah, and one of the greatest, I love, it's a handwritten note to Lorne from Bill Murray. I was here, you weren't, so I left.
That's hysterical.
It's just one of those great, you know, whether it be a telegram or these are all artifacts. And that's probably also why this exhibit is so amazing, is because everything's been saved.
You said this about Paul Simon, who's a member of the Five Timer Club, which is so iconic. But one of my very favorite, and I hadn't thought about this, I've been such a fan of the show for so long but I go way old school sometimes. And Paul Simon coming out singing Still Crazy after all these years dressed up as a turkey. That is the turkey suit there?
The turkey suit isn't, but it is actually... it's talked about in that very first video that you see.
Not much makes me happier than that scene where he's just like, this is ridiculous.
But from those first seasons, we do have like the Killer Bee costumes.
Oh, God. That was John Belushi.
It's amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit later about how much SNL has been threaded into the life of all of America.
Absolutely. For the good and the bad and all of our references. Justin Kolevsek joins us from the Museum of Broadcasting in Chicago. And you can see this SNL exhibit through the end of March. But that is not very much time, especially with the cold snaps we're getting. Hannah Stanley and Fred Weintraub hosting tonight on WGN Nightside. More with Justin right after this. Hannah Stanley and Fred Weintraub tonight on the WGN Nightside. Thrilled to be with you guys until 10 o'clock, and then we're going to turn it over to the very handsome Mr. Pete McMurray.
He's really dressed
and up. And Jane Menzeris.
He's really dressed up really
he's
well
He's super
tonight.
Dressed up, and he's clearly not paying attention to us.
I would have dressed up if I would have known he was going to dress
I know,
up tonight.
It's a whole,
what's up with that?
It's a whole thing. But joining us is also the equally handsome Justin Kolevsek, who is the vice president at the Museum of Broadcasting in Chicago. We are talking about the NSL experience, which is, of course, Saturday Night Live. Everybody knows that. But and we've discussed in, I think, everybody here in the Chicagoland area, I would feel like, is aware of what a big impact and what a big part the Chicago improv scene, for sure, even the comedic scene has played, because those are different, in the growth, development, longevity of Saturday Night Live. But, I mean, if you think about not just the Chicagoans, but if you think about all of the things that we say on a daily basis that we don't necessarily even realize came from SNL.
You know what I think one of the number ones are? Debbie Downer.
Well, we're not having a Debbie Downer tonight.
No, we're not having a Debbie Downer.
But that's true.
Don't be a Debbie Downer. Even my kids say that.
Started on SNL.
Yeah, I hate to be a Debbie Downer.
The thing about Saturday Night Live is that in each of our memories, we know being home at 10:30 or 11:30 at night, depending on where you live in the United States, that that was what you were doing on Saturday Night. That was what you were doing on Saturday Night Live. On Saturday night, you were going to watch SNL. And there are certain moments in history when things were not going well, and Saturday Night Live played a huge role in getting our country back to where we needed to be.
Yeah.
Before we go further into that, though, so this weekend, Bobby Moynihan was supposed to be here as part of the
event,
the comedy in Chicago. He had to cancel. No big deal. I mean, we're sorry that he wrote the sweetest note to
He actually
you guys.
Did. He tweeted at the exhibit tonight saying, feeling absolutely awful about this last-minute change. As a lifelong SNL fan, I was really looking forward to seeing the exhibit. I am still excited to see the exhibit and reschedule this before we close in March.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's time that he will come back, but people who have already purchased tickets, they have nothing to worry about.
Absolutely not. We're 100% refund. Everything's being done, and we're going to reschedule it.
Things happen.
And you've had some pretty great guests. I mean, Dean Richards was supposed to be the host of this particular event, so I'm sure that Dean will be the host of one of the next ones. But it really does go to, if you're a Chicagoan and you love comedy, you don't have to, this mentality of comedy comes from New York or comedy comes from L.A.
Yeah.
It's a crock.
Well, I mean, Upright Citizens Brigade is where Amy Poehler came from and a couple others. But for the most part, we're talking Tina Fey, Rachel Dratch. Initially, even Second City in Toronto there, and I'm doing, it's Toronto's over there. But that was such the core of where they went to find really the people who would carry them through. It from the beginning, Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, John Belushi, I've heard of him. Just they all came from here. It doesn't matter. But Rick Moranis, he was at Second City in Canada, really had taken so many things like Landshark. People still refer to Landshark. And like you said, Debbie Downer. And then even when Tina Fey did 30 Rock, that was just a continuation, another branch on the whole Saturday Night Live thing. And that I remember seeing Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch at Second City doing the Boston Wicked. It's, you know, it's wicked awful. They did that on stage here. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing them on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, I've seen this sketch. I saw this sketch in Chicago a year and a half ago.
And Justin, these comedians really cut their teeth. They learn their craft mm-hmm. here in Chicago.
They do. Absolutely. They start here. And whether it be someone on the show mm-hmm. or even a writer. This year, a lot of writers actually came from...
Many. Like Second three City. Of them, I think.
Yeah. You know, the year before, we had two people actually write from Chicago, Chris Redd, Luke Null, and also Alex Moffat. Mm-hmm. All three of them came from Chicago, from Second City and from Improv Olympic and from being, you know, they like you said, Fred, they're literally getting started here.
Yeah.
And taking off there.
Well, and they even referenced it, Liz Lemon and the other characters. Their characters, when they moved to New York, had come from Chicago, and they would wear IO t-shirts and they would wear Second City t-shirts. The other thing that SNL has allowed us to do is come together as a country, because we've had these moments where we've all been talking about Church Lady or whatever sketch happens to be popular at that time. But there's also times where the country is in a bad time, such as September 11th. Michael's got the audio for us.
Everyone here, I just want to thank you all for being here tonight, and especially you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Warren. Thank you very much. Having our city's institutions up and running sends a message that New York City is open for business. Saturday Night Live is one of our great New York City institutions, and that's why it's important for you to do your show tonight.
Can we be funny?
Why start now?
That's so well written, but it gave the country permission to laugh and to start healing and to realize that it was okay to be normal.
So few words, so effective in what Lorne Michaels said and what the mayor said in giving permission for the country to go on. And no matter what happens in America, we're a healing society. We're a healing society. And when you have a show like SNL that lets you heal, it really is a powerful reason to watch television and a compliment to the fact that you've got the exhibit here in Chicago.
Yeah. And I love the fact that we can have such a Midwestern voice on SNL by all of not only the performers, but the writers. The writers really are the ones who, man, they put it together.
Hannah, can you get some tickets out of Justin so you and I can go see the exhibit?
We'll talk about it later. Hannah Stanley here hosting with Fred Weintraub on WGN Nightside. After the news, I'm gonna tell you this now. After the news, we have our own Chicago royalty. Jarrett Payton is going to join us after the news. But first, we're going to get you guys to the break.